Welcome to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, where I, Monique Chambers, am joined by businesses that have sold their product and services overseas. Welcome to this week's edition of Exporting Malta with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Anton Buttigieg from Trade Malta. Now, Trade Malta has quite a remit, actually. Your remit, or one of the things you do, is help Maltese companies expand overseas.
Indeed. We were set up in 2015.
Okay.
We're a joint venture between the government of Malta and the Malta Chamber of Commerce, Enterprise and Industry, with a very specific remit to help Malta-based companies. And when I say Malta-based companies, I mean companies which are not necessarily have a Maltese shareholding, but could be foreign-owned, operating from Malta. And we help these companies to internationalize their business.
So that's into any country, or is it particularly within the EU? How is it? Is there any limitations on that?
We are obviously very happy to meet companies who want to internationalize. Like Malta, Trade Malta is obviously limited resources, but we try as much as possible and help companies go where they think that there is more strategic fit with their internationalization plans. There are countries where we can help more because we would either have an office with a person who can generate contacts or business leads, or, for example, Malta has an embassy or a consulate. So there is someone who's representing Malta in places where we usually don't have any contacts. We try and be creative as much as possible, and through our network try and make people meet, people talk, so at least we get them talking in the first place.
Because you always think about, you know, Malta and Italy and Malta and the UK being like the main things.
Yep.
Do people still need help getting into those markets, or is it now everybody knows what to do, how to go about it, all the upsides and all the pitfalls?
Good question. Well, if you had to see the export figures, the European Union is still Malta's largest export destination.
Okay.
Having said that, the belief of the executive team and the board is that doing business in Europe is somehow a little bit easier. So if you want to go and check on a supplier in Italy or in the United Kingdom, it's fairly straightforward. It's also more reasonable to travel to these countries to see and check whether physically these people exist. If you're trying to do business in Africa or in Asia, it's more difficult to get this information. So from day one, we said we will help if people come to us to do business in Europe or in the United States. But we, from a focus perspective, we would like to push companies to go to places where we're traditionally Maltese companies usually do not do business.
Okay, because I often see you have these adverts running in the papers about trade missions. So what are these trade missions? Because you go to some fantastical places and they look really interesting. What's a trade mission and how do they happen?
Yes, incidentally, we have one coming up in the first week of March and we are traveling to Ghana.
Oh, okay.
The scope of a trade mission is basically to open doors for businesses who are interested in doing business in that particular market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a mixed bag of fortunes. So you would have a group of companies, some of them would have already been doing business with that particular country, others who are just there coming there on first time to explore or whether to corroborate their desk research that is possibly a good market for them. What we do in these instances is Trade Malta, we would arrange B2B meetings on behalf of the delegations, organize information sessions on the ground by experts, this case from Ghana, on telling people how to do business in Ghana, the things that maybe one should be taking care of and things that one need to be aware of, like regulations, local regulations, so on and so forth. So these missions are aimed at companies that want to do business in a new market. We sort of help them enter into the this market with a more soft landing rather than crash landing into a place and then getting hurt.
Because there is this sort of misconception about doing business somewhere you think you've understood each other, but actually everything can be different from, you know, the hours of working to how long it takes to receive an email to even, you know, how long people take for lunch. You know, if nobody ever answers their phone because they're always at lunch at the time you're awake, it's, it can be very frustrating for...
Yes, these are simple details which more often than not companies tend to not to give a lot of importance. Mm. So we also try to help companies understand the culture, you know, what to expect if you send an email, whether someone will be replying or not, whether you should be sending an email in the first place or not. Because unfortunately, we live in a sort of cocoon and we send an email and expect to receive a reply, especially when doing business locally. But it's not always the case when you're doing business internationally. The example I give to companies is if you receive an email from, from Vietnam, and you read it through it and you don't take it seriously, most likely you don't reply to it. So it's going to happen the same thing if you send someone an email to Vietnam, and if it's not well structured, not well planned, then most probably nobody was going to follow it up.
That's it. And they need to know what your company does, even where Malta is.
Absolutely, and if you ask me, as an initial contact, I would not send an email, depending on which product or service you're selling, but I would not start with an email.
And it's even, like you say, how to address people, because, you know, in Malta, we're quite formal, actually, and then there are other countries where you would immediately go in, you know, in England, for example, you'd generally go in with somebody's first name. But in Malta, you know, if I think we're a bit more formal here, you're still Mr. and Mrs. You're not, they don't go in and say, you know, hi, Anton. They, you know, they're a little bit more formal.
Each market has its characteristics. If you go to Japan, it's not only just not the first name, but also who you're talking. So if you're not talking to the oldest person in the room, most probably it means you're not talking to the right person because there are hierarchies and so on and so forth. My advice to any company that wants to internationalize is decide which market you want to operate in and try to learn as much as possible on the culture, on the way they do business. Because even if you're doing business in a country which is sitting neighboring another country, and just because they're sitting next to each other from a geographical perspective, they're close to each other, the minute you cross that border, things might change completely, and you might be caught off guard, and then you realize that you're not prepared. So, you know, luckily today we have a lot of resources, so one can at least have a basic understanding of what to expect when you go into a new market.
And also, I believe Trade Malta has a portal where you can access or have commissioned some market research, because that's, again, super important. You can't think a 30-year-old guy in Vietnam is going to behave the same way as a 30-year-old guy in Italy. Everything they do, they look for, it's going to be different.
Indeed. We were lucky enough to access European funds, and through those funds we managed to build a platform through which we offer various services to companies who want to do international business. There are various, I mean, I cannot explain on the radio how many different types of services, but if one had to go log into www.trademalta.org, it's very easily explained. If you want to do research on a particular market, we have that information. If you'd like to find companies or partners in a particular market, we have this kind of directories. Okay. If you'd like to promote your own company, we also have that opportunity. So I suggest that whoever is interested, you just log into our website, and if you don't find what you're really looking for, you can always contact us, and someone from the staff will definitely reach back to you.
And you also have lots of videos as well of people that you've interviewed locally, companies that have used the services of Trade Malta to do exhibitions overseas. You seem to do a lot of support in exhibitions.
Yes, in fact, when we were building this portal, we were very conscious of the fact that people are finding it difficult to find time to read. So we decided we wanted to find some very good companies who are doing extremely well on an international scene. And we said, let's create on their behalf videos, which they obviously kept then and they're using for their own marketing yeah. purposes, but they're sitting on our platform. So if an international buyer is, I don't know, looking for services to repair an aircraft, they simply go into our website, they look into the aviation sector, uh-huh. and he can find a number of videos related to that particular industry, and we believe that watching a 3-minute video or even less could be easier than, you know, reading profiles of yeah. companies, so on and so forth. We have more videos coming up, incidentally, because we have more funds left, so we said, let's do more videos.
Because they seem to be working for you.
Yes, indeed.
And maybe I should switch off and we just make some videos instead.
Well, I hope, they listen too, so...
It's true. People do listen to their car actually yes. quite a lot. We get quite recognised. It's quite fun. What sorts of businesses do you help at Trade Malta?
We do focus on a number of industries, and the ones that we usually tend to give more importance are to the companies that must have a base, obviously, in Malta, but mm-hmm. that are also committing to the island. Ultimately, we are being funded by local government funds, so it's only fair that we help companies that are planning to grow their business locally, to mm-hmm. employ more people, maybe to move into new premises. So those companies we tend to give priority.
Okay.
And then there are a number of sectors which also we give a number of priorities, which is manufacturing. Uh-huh. Despite the misconceptions, there's still a very vibrant manufacturing sector in Malta. We do have a lot of English language companies and teaching and uh-huh. training companies. So it's a wide variety. So again, we also help a lot of food and beverage companies, but we would classify those as manufacturing companies. They're actually creating the product in Malta, packaging it, taking care of all the marketing, mm-hmm. logistics, so on and so forth.
That's it, because logistics, you always think, being a tiny island, that can create some complexities. Is that somewhere that Trade Malta can help businesses as well?
Well, to be fair, as an island, I think we're very well connected from a logistics perspective. From a logistics perspective, is when you have to ship something. Mm-hmm. When it comes to connections, the new destinations that we are going to, they are more difficult to access. But thankfully, there are a number of hubs around mm-hmm. us, so one would have to travel through these destinations. But when it comes to shipping goods, we have very, very good east-west, west-east connections because of our geographical position, and usually shipping goods out of Malta is typically not the biggest challenge.
So if somebody is getting to the stage where they're either saturating the local market or their idea just might not, be able to be maximised in Malta, it actually is better in, on the African continent or in the US or whatever, what's their first steps?
Well, good question. Unfortunately, there's no one single set of ingredients okay. that you put together and then, there's a nice, it doesn't happen, unfortunately. Usually companies have a product or a service and they know that it's selling well locally, so they would like to take an opportunity and see whether it would also fly off the shelves in an international market. We also have the other extremes where we are meeting companies today which start from Malta with no intention whatsoever of selling anything in Malta but to go international from day one. I think the most important thing for these companies is to focus on the product they are actually or service that they are offering mm-hmm. because many a times they tend to start doing something and then they just, go at a tangent and trying to do other things rather than focusing on what they know how to do best. And then I think the next important thing is decide which market you want to do international business and why. Now, some people just, go all the way and they go to that market, they try to find partners, understand. Other people take a different approach. They might get the support of a business consultant locally who could, give them some help. They could also come to us, hopefully, and we could give them an indication and listen. There's a great need for this product in this particular market. We could possibly help you, or, you know, we don't see in this current format an opportunity for you. Maybe you should tweak your offering.
Okay. That's it, because it's that sort of, not arrogance, but that you're so comfortable in your local skin that you need to tweak things slightly, even the naming or the selling points.
Well, yes, if you have a business which is, let's say, popular in Malta, and that business has your surname on it, you know, maybe popular in Malta, but
that,
I mean, nobody
means
knows.
Nothing elsewhere, yeah.
Means nothing elsewhere.
Yeah.
So even in building a brand, if from day one you want to explore international markets, I think whoever is helping you on the branding side should also be aware that you would like to sell things internationally. I mean, we've seen blunders even from big companies, let's say big car companies, who've named their cars, and then when you actually translate the names of those cars in particular markets, they're non-starters.
So, there are some good ones, but also with Maltese names, like you said, some of them are quite difficult to say. So it would get somewhere else, and people wouldn't be able to understand how to search for it on the internet or whatever. They just would get completely lost.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in today's world, one needs to differentiate himself or herself from so many products and services that are available out there. But still, we are very surprised, you know, even until today. You meet companies, and we have an outreach program where we go and meet companies to see whether there is potential for them to export their service. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this job for the past 5 years, and I keep on surprising myself that on such a small island, there's such an economic activity and so many people doing things that they want to export out of Malta. And that gives us a lot of confidence, obviously, to try and help them in the best way possible.
So you said earlier about people coming to you. So are there foreign companies looking for a particular product as well? Does that come through you? That would come through another agency, but you might get to hear about it because they know that so-and-so does this and we need something similar.
Well, if an international buyer wants to buy something from Malta, usually they would come to us. If not, other agencies would redirect them to us. What we do not take care of is someone who wants to relocate the business in Malta and set up a business. That's typically a Malta enterprise remit. And there's another government agency which helps companies in doing investment promotion.
But because I was saying, for Trade Malta, you often see these trade missions, which sound very grand, whatever. What else do you do? You help with exhibitions, I understand?
Yes. We very much push the idea that companies should exhibit in international trade fairs. And international trade fairs have become very specialized. I would say that for every sector, imaginable sector that, you know, you're operating in, there's a specialized international trade fair where you could possibly go and exhibit your products or services. It's a good way to promote your brand, to get the people who are interested in buying that particular good or service, that you are part of an ecosystem that provides that particular good or service. And in what better way than attending or exhibiting in this particular fair and building your brand image.
So potentially attending first so you can make sure that it's the right kind of place
for
you.
We have funds for companies who decide to exhibit. Now, this sometimes it could be having a physical stand. Sometimes you're invited to, because it's not always selling a product, high hard product. So sometimes you have to, let's say, pay to sit on a panel so that you can promote your product. But as long as you have physical presence in this particular fair, we have a scheme which is also accessible through our website. And if you are on the eligible list of categories or sectors that can benefit from this scheme, we usually typically give up to 40 or 50%, depending which sector, refund for that particular expense. So you can go to a fair. It could cost, let's say, 8,000 euros. If you are eligible, let's say, for a 50% rebate, and the expenses you make are eligible under our scheme, we'll give you 50% back, so you pocket back 4,000 euros.
And that's in some of these exhibitions. One of the people I'd interviewed said that, you know, you get some contracts within the same year, but some take 2 or 3 years, but they come through, you know, the negotiations and the relationships get built over time. But attending these exhibitions seems to be really worthwhile.
I would say that in the past 15 to 20 years, exhibiting in a fair has changed completely. Whereas before, they used to be, you go there and you have an order book and you start taking orders. That has decreased significantly.
Okay.
I think today the scope of the fair is to make yourself present, and you build an image more than anything. And I think it's very important. We've had situations that, like, you know, even when I'm talking to clients who we help on a daily basis, I like to recall experiences of other companies. We've had, let's say, companies who are doing business only in one market, let's say Libya. And unfortunately, a war started out in Libya, and they needed to look at other markets. And whilst they were doing very well in Libya, they did not do any international marketing or business development in other markets. So they were trying to get business from other markets, bidding for projects and tenders. They would be shortlisted, but never get the project. And then they started calling the companies who were issuing these calls and say, we would like to know why we weren't shortlisted. And say, well, your technical documentation was in place. We read your specifications. We like them. But we looked around and asked around, and nobody really knows who you are, or whether you really are you for real. Is someone just submitted a bid? So do not underestimate that. I mean, at least the suggestion that I give to a company, do not underestimate the importance of being in these fairs. Because, first of all, you see, also get to know who your competitors are.
Yes.
On an international basis.
Yes, if you want their stands.
If you are doing international business. If it's a specialized fair, there are buyers who want to come and see existing companies, but also new companies. So if they see you, at least, oh, yes, I remember this company. I had picked up a brochure, or I spoke to someone. And don't just go there and wait, you know, for someone to come and talk to you. So if you know that there's a fair in 6 months' time, it means that if you go even on the website of this particular fair, you'll see past exhibitors who would typically attend. You could start working up front and calling people 3-2 months in advance of the fair and setting up your own meetings. Because otherwise
you're just chancing it on the day sort of thing.
And
yeah, better to try. And another trick I used to do when I used to do fairs for IBM and people like that was you'd see people going onto your competitor's stand. They wouldn't come to you, but you'd know what they looked like. So then you get them in the coffee bar.
I've heard that a lot of Maltese companies also go for coffee with their competitors, and then they start befriending them, and then they typically end up meeting in different fairs because they're in different countries. And then, you know, they start becoming friendly and get to know what their competitors' problems are. So they reverse engineer and say, okay, they're having problems in that area, so we should be working harder at solving those kind of problems if we want to attract more
international clients. Another Maltese company trick that I've seen is putting up pictures of Malta. So in between their product shots, they're actually showing really beautiful scenery from Malta, and people are like, wow, where's that? You're like, Malta, and you've got them, you know, then they want to come, and part of it is that.
While that's a good way of also promoting, a lot of people would come and ask you where that is. I would also be careful what to put on display, because you might think that, you know, a couple sitting on the beach having a drink is acceptable in Italy. It might not be acceptable
in Saudi.
in places where, couples are freely, go to the beach freely and consume alcohol.
Now this was dolphins and coastline. You're like,
But you'd be surprised how creative some companies can be, and they'll end up in hot water.
Little bits of trouble, yes. Yeah. No, because that cultural side of things is really quite important. You can say the wrong thing, address somebody the wrong way.
Yes.
I
mean, if you go to the Middle East, in many countries in the Middle East, not all of them, but and you're a male and you are introduced to a female, you can't shake your hand. So if you, you know, take your hand out, she will not.
You, yes.
And that's a non-starter already. You're already on the wrong foot there. It means you don't know how to do business in this place.
So obviously the cultural aspect, the helping with fares, some sort of day-to-day networking type skills. What else does Trade Malta do? Why should people come and see you?
Well, we have the advantage of talking to a lot of companies. So we learn from other people's experience.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what works and what doesn't work in at least in a number of markets. We also help with a lot of introductions. So let's say a company walks in and say, we would like to go to the United States, but we have no clue where to start from or where to, which state should we go? Should we go to the, New York? Should we go to California? Uh-huh. So we obviously listen to them and see what is it that they are offering and what is it that they want to do. And we try as much as possible, if we do not have an embassy or an honorary consul on the ground, to introduce them to people locally who have done business in that particular jurisdiction.
Okay.
More often than not, a lot of companies would tend to agree to meet up for over coffee or maybe lunch, and they would share their experience with this company that wants to do business, let's say, in the United States. I think that from a business or entrepreneur side, I think, having a frank chat with another businessman who's done business in a particular jurisdiction, it's already very enlightening, very, very a good opportunity to understand from someone who's learned the hard way doing business there.
Excellent. So, well, if anybody out there is listening wants to jump off the rock with their business, contact Anton Buttigieg at Trade Malta or any of your team. Actually, you've got quite a nice team over there as well.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, produced by me, Monique Chambers, with technical assistance from Carmelo Grek and Redent Abdillah. This show is aired every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. and repeated on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. here on Campus FM. Thank you.